On today's podcast, we talk about aliens, UFOs, crop circles, and life on other planets. Welcome to
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Hello, my name's Craig.
Hi, I'm Reza.
And together, we're going to help you grow your grammar, perfect your pronunciation, and vocalize your vocabulary. How are you doing, Reza?
I'm fine. I'm fine, Craig. I'm fine. I'm finally got rid of that, most of the troublesome frogs in my throat.
That's good to hear. No frogs in your throat.
No. So our voices have more or less come back to normal.
As sweet as honey.
Mm.
Well, I don't know about that. Speaking of lovely voices, we've got another message from Gabriela from Peru, who regular listeners may remember sent us a lovely message last week.
Is Gabriela Gabby? Is that the same person?
Yep, I think so. Yep, both from Peru, same voice. Yep, Gabriela Gabby from Peru. So let's listen to Gabriela's message, in which she uses some wonderful examples of advanced collocation. So we'll look at that later. Here's Gabriela from Peru.
Very good morning, guys and listeners. Here is Gabriela from Peru. Today I want to tell you about an awesome experience I went through some time ago on board Princess Cruises, where I used to work as a youth counselor. Well, a youth counselor is a person who's in charge of the entertainment department for kids. Yes, we were all the time preparing great activities for the kiddos so they could enjoy their cruise, you know. Well, this experience led me... Oh, my dogs are barking. Well, this experience led me meet great people who I learned a lot from, as well as seeing amazing places. Actually, my very first contract was around the Mediterranean. Yeah, so I could see Egypt, Italy, Greece. But we visited Spain only once. And I remember that day when the ship docked in Barcelona, I wasn't given a day off so I could see Barcelona from the porthole. Anyway, maybe in near future, I'll get a chance to go back there and see Spain as I would have wanted by then. And why not to meet with you guys? Well, I'd like to know if you've ever been on a cruise ship or if you're planning to do so. Bye.
Thank you, Gabriela, for your voice message. Reza, any comments?
Gabriela, just like your previous message, very, very good. Very clear. Your pronunciation is really good and it's easy to understand everything you said.
And some lovely collocations that I heard in Gabriela's message include things like, she said, I want to tell you about an awesome experience I went through. So that collocation of to go through an experience is really nice. So obviously you can have an experience, or an experience is something you can go through. And Gabby said, an awesome experience I went through, which were very nice. Did you hear any other collocations that you'd like to point out?
Yeah, you also said this experience led me to meet great people. Although I think maybe you missed out the word to. But it's a good collocation to say to lead you to do something. So this experience led me to meet great people.
And Gabriela also said that her ship, the ship she was on, docked in Barcelona. Now, obviously, if Gabriela worked on a cruise ship, she learned words like to dock. But to dock is atracar in Spanish. When a ship docks at a port, it arrives at a port. Her ship docked in Barcelona. Dock is also a noun. A dock is dársena in Spanish. So dock can be a noun or a verb. And she also said she only saw Barcelona from the porthole, which is another nautical word, a word from the sea. Porthole is portilla. It's the window in a ship.
Yeah, she didn't actually get the chance to set foot in Barcelona. She could only see it through the window, through the porthole. Poor Gabriela. Next time, I hope you can.
Yeah, and if you do get to Valencia, because some ships do dock here, some cruise ships come to Valencia, be sure to get in touch. Let us know that you've arrived, and we'd love to meet you in person. Gabriela asked us if we've been on cruises, which we have answered before on another podcast, and we said pretty much we agreed that cruises don't exactly float our boat.
Pardon the pun. Craig's playing with the words there. To float your boat means it appeals to you, it attracts you. Yeah. No, cruises don't particularly attract Craig or me, I'm afraid to tell you, Gabriela.
No, not our cup of tea. Although I think we both agree that if a cruise took us to a really interesting place, like maybe Antarctica or something similar, we'd be happy to do that. But just to cruise around the Mediterranean, maybe in a few years when we retire.
Yeah. I don't really like the idea of everything being programmed and I can't decide to spend more or less time doing something depending on whether I like it or not. It's the programming that doesn't appeal to me, I must say.
Also, I've heard that on cruise ships you get an open buffet lunch and dinner and breakfast with wonderful appetizing food. Mm. So I would just put on too much weight. If I was on a cruise ship, I'd be eating constantly. So not a good idea. Gabriela also asked us to explain the difference between to spend time and pass time. I don't think that was in the audio message, but she asked us to do that. So they are quite close, aren't they? They are quite related, to spend time and to pass time. But I think there's a small difference.
Yeah, for me, spend time just means to employ time.
Mm-hmm.
I spend far too much time on Facebook and YouTube these days.
Me too.
I just use up too much time. So it's just talking about using up a quantity of time. So you can spend a lot of time doing something, or you can spend not much time doing something, or you can spend 2 hours doing something, 5 minutes doing something. But pass the time doesn't really refer to the quantity, does it? Pass the time is just means that you occupy yourself with something.
Yeah, I think it's more the idea of time passing quickly when you're waiting for something else. For example, with spend time, you could say, how much time do you spend studying English? What's the quantity of time it takes you to do an activity? But pass the time is definitely when you want it to go quickly, because maybe you're waiting for something. For example, when I'm waiting in a queue, if I'm queuing up, if I'm waiting in a line, I usually pass the time by playing with my phone, by playing Candy Crush or something on my mobile phone. Or when I'm driving, I pass the time listening to podcasts. So I want the time to pass quickly because I'm doing something else, a different thing. I think that's the main difference, but they are very similar. You could use them in some situations, you could use them interchangeably.
One little word, though, is very important. The, pass the time. We don't say pass time ever. We always say, I pass the time. But you spend time without the. Spend time, pass the time.
Good point. How much time do you spend reading these days?
Not as much as I should. Although I do spend more time in the summer reading than the rest of the year because I have holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And reading is a very pleasant way to pass the time in the summer. You're hot, it's blazing sunshine outside. So it's nice to just pass the time indoors with mm-hmm. a bit of air conditioning, reading a nice book, don't you find?
I agree, yeah. And I don't particularly enjoy being on a beach. So in the few occasions that I go to the beach and I sit on the beach, I pass the time reading. Yeah, that's the way the time passes quickly for me when I'm on the beach, is by reading. Next, we have another audio message, this time from Mexico and Francisco. Let's see what Francisco says all the way from Mexico.
Hello, Reza. Hello, Craig. My name is Francisco. I am from Mexico. Sent you this recording because in some previous podcasts, you mentioned white people is very shy and do not simply try to speak in English. So I am trying. This question you did made me thinking about that. I realized that I had been very shy for a long time. I was in a morning bike ride when I heard this question from you. I started to thinking how many opportunities I have lost because of my shyness. I feel very embarrassed when in a conference I cannot explain my ideas in the correct way that all my colleagues can understand. I have figured out that this because when thinking or translating from Spanish to English, this is stressful for me when I cannot find the proper word to translate a simple sentence. Do you have any advice in this matter? Keep you nice work and wish you good health, both of you. And I am looking forward and waiting to hear you from next week. Thank you.
I think there are also some dogs in Francisco's message. Did you hear them?
Yeah, in the background, barking.
Yeah, from Gabby's and from Francisco's messages. Thanks very much for your message. Very fluent, very clear. And I'm really, really happy, Francisco, that despite a little shyness, you decided to record your message. You're speaking English. It's so important to get out there to practice lanzar, to actually try and communicate and use your English, because unless you make some mistakes, you're not going to improve. You're not going to get that fluency. So well done and congratulations for sending us the message.
Very good message, Francisco. However, there are one or two little things we just want to comment on. For example, you made a very typical mistake of Spanish speakers. You said people is. That's wrong. It's people are. People are, because of course, usually the word people in English is the plural of the word person. So one person, two people, una persona, dos personas. So people are is the correct version.
I really liked the expression you use, Francisco, I have figured out, which means I have arrived at the conclusion. If you figure something out, then you realize something. You can also use the phrasal verb to work out. So you can say, I've figured out the solution, or I've worked out the solution.
There were a couple of little mistakes you made, but don't worry, we could still easily understand you, Francisco. But the mistakes were about gerunds and infinitives. Mm. You said, it's made me thinking. That's wrong, because to make someone is followed by infinitive without to. So it made me think is the correct version. For example, I saw a very interesting film and it made me think about many things. It made me think. Also, you said, I started to thinking. Well, no, that's not right, because you've mixed two things there. You could use an infinitive. You could say, I started to think, or you could say, I started thinking. But you can't mix the to and the ing. You've got to choose one. After start, you can have infinitive or gerund, but you can't mix them. By the way, if you want to revise a little bit about gerunds and infinitives, you can look at episodes 14 and 15 of our podcast, 14 and 15, where we look at gerunds and infinitives in more detail.
So to find those two, go to inglespodcast.com/14. Or inglespodcast.com/15. And remember, on the website, on your desktop, mobile, or on your phone or tablet, you have a search box on the website. So you could also just type in, just write in the search, infinitives, gerunds, and you'll find all the podcasts that we've made talking about gerunds, infinitives, any part of grammar or vocabulary. You can easily locate the podcasts by searching.
Another little thing I wanted to mention, Francisco, was pronunciation of the word embarrassed. Yeah, tener vergüenza, vergonzoso. Your pronunciation, you put stress on the first, I think you said like embarrassed or something like that. When you have a long word like that, it's very important to get the stress in the right place. It's the second syllable, embarrassed. You felt embarrassed. And one last thing you said, keep you the good work. I think you mean keep up the good work.
To keep up, continue.
Continue, don't stop. And Francisco, regarding your question, you said you felt embarrassed sometimes when you were speaking because you couldn't quite find the right word to translate. What would you say about that, Craig?
I think it's better to try not to translate. And the problem with translating is that you can't always accurately translate Spanish to English. There are many collocations, expressions that do not translate. I know it's difficult, but try as much as possible to think in English. Try to learn collocations and expressions in English, and you really won't improve your speaking unless you speak. You have to get out there and practice. If it's difficult in your area to find people to speak with, go online, use Skype. There are many services. Some are free, some you have to pay for, but you can practice on the internet using your phone, using a microphone, using Skype, and practice as much as possible. That's the best way to improve your fluency and improve your speaking. But you've already started. You sent us a message. Your English sounds really good. Just keep practicing, keep working, and it will improve very, very quickly.
And it's our turn to say to you, Francisco, keep up the good work.
Keep up the good work. We've also received an email, Reza, from Rafael from Mexico. Would you like to read it?
Yes, Rafael has written, good afternoon from Mexico, Guadalajara State, land of tequila and mariachis. I wonder if you could speak about aliens, UFOs, and crop circles. I know you spoke about ghosts and the supernatural in episode 131, but I realized you haven't talked about aliens. By, he means on the other hand,
yeah.
I'm listened all week. He means I listen every week.
Every day, maybe.
Every day, beg your pardon. I listen every day, or I listen during the week when I commute to my work. Commute means to travel to work, maybe 1 hour. Thanks a lot for your excellent work. Kind regards, Rafael.
Thank you very much, Rafael, for your email.
Thanks, Rafael. Okay, Rafael, we will do exactly that. Let's talk about aliens and UFOs and crop circles. Well, Craig, what is an alien?
Well, I think an alien can be two things, can't it? An alien can be an extraterrestrial from another planet or another world. It could also mean extranjero or extranjera. Mm. For example, an illegal alien. If you're living in a country without a visa or without residency, you are an illegal alien. I can't remember who said this, but somebody had a quote that says, illegal aliens have always been a problem in the United States. Just ask any Indian. So if you think about that, you realize that the Indians were in the US way, way before the North Americans settled there. So when the North Americans settled there, they really became aliens in a country that originally was lived in by the Indians.
Do you know that song by Sting? What's it called? Englishman in New York.
Yep. Yeah. I'm an alien. I'm an illegal alien. I'm an Englishman in New York.
That's right. He talks about it. So you can also alienate someone. So using it as a verb, alienate someone by making them feel separate or strange or hostile. Mm-hmm. For example, be careful that you don't alienate your girlfriend's parents. Don't say anything to annoy them because then you're going to have a lot of trouble. Don't make them feel different or strange or hostile. Make them be your friends. Don't alienate them.
Yep. And don't alienate your wife from your own family.
No.
Could be a problem. So yeah, an alien can also be a creature from outer space. But you mentioned crop circles. Crop is cosecha, so círculos en las cosechas are crop circles, and they are geometric patterns or shapes that appear mysteriously in fields of crop. So modern crop circles didn't appear until the 1970s in the English countryside. And on the internet, there are many theories about how crop circles are made. But apparently, the only known proven cause of crop circles is humans. So I couldn't find any actual proof on the internet that crop circles have been made by aliens. But there are some very pretty and unusual patterns. If you search Google images for crop circles, there's some lovely designs and patterns in fields. But I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily believe that they were made by extraterrestrial aliens.
Me neither, because I asked myself, why would they bother?
Yeah.
Considering all the things aliens could do on Earth, why would they bother just to, you know, make these beautiful but not very useful designs in the countryside? Why not do something more useful?
Well, some people say that they are the imprints or designs or patterns that a spaceship makes when it lands in a field. So if you imagine a flying saucer, a plato volante, a flying saucer landing in a field, maybe it lands and makes these patterns as it lands or takes off. That's some explanation, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't believe it.
Some people talk about alien abduction. Abduction means being taken away against your will. To abduct is raptar. Some people say that they've been abducted by aliens and then they were released. They were set free again and they tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are many varieties, but quite often they say they were hypnotized or drugged or affected in some strange way. And it was all a bit like a kind of trance or a dream, and they only have vague memories and they can't give specific details of where and exactly when. What do you think about all that, Craig?
No, I don't. Again, I don't buy it. I don't buy it means I don't believe it. They claim or they say that they were abducted in UFOs. And Reza mentioned UFO before. UFO is an acronym for Unidentified Flying Object. Unidentified Flying Object, which will be OVNI, OVNI in Spanish. So yeah, a flying saucer could be a UFO, UFO sightings, but I don't believe it.
I don't believe it myself. Having said that, I have seen strange lights in the sky, which I can't quite explain, but I don't believe they're UFOs. But once or twice I've thought, oh, that's very odd.
You said to me the other day you saw something that might have been an aeroplane, but it was different to normal aeroplane lights.
Yeah, it was very strange. I was near Alicante with a friend, and it was quite late at night, and we were on a beach, and there were plenty of planes flying into Alicante.
It was very busy, isn't it?
It's a very busy airport. Yeah. So there, you can always see the lights of planes. But this one light was a very different color. It was more yellow, not as white as the other lights. It's much more yellow and a different shape. And it seemed to kind of move like a plane, but then it just kind of disappeared. And yet there wasn't any cloud, and all the other lights continued in their normal flight routes, the normal patterns. So why did this one disappear? I don't know. We couldn't figure it out. We couldn't say why it happened.
Strange. It could have been a UFO.
Well, I don't believe it was, but I suppose some people would. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you exactly why that light did disappear. Maybe at a very, very specific angle, a cloud covered it. There just happened to be that one cloud which covered that light, and the others were not on the cloud. I don't know. I can't explain it.
There's another expression or another vocabulary item that is interesting with this topic, and that's a light year. A light year, L-I-G-H-T. And when I say light, I don't mean ligero, like the opposite of heavy. I mean light as in luz, like the velocity or speed and distance that light can travel in 1 year. So a light year, the distance that light can travel in 1 year. And apparently light moves at a velocity of about 300,000 kilometers each second. So in 1 year, light can travel about 10 trillion kilometers. Now, Nestor, who's listening to this, will confirm if that's true or not. I'm sure he knows. So 1 light year is equal to about 9.5 trillion kilometers. That's quite far, isn't it? That's a long, long way.
That's pretty far, yeah.
So that's a light year, the distance light travels in 1 year.
And it's amazing to think that when you see the light of a star up in the skies, that you're not seeing it live, mm-hmm. you know, in directo. No, it could be a couple of light or several hundred light years old. It can be the light of a star which doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
It's already burnt out and you're seeing it a couple of years later, because that's how long it took for the light to get here. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thought, isn't it?
And if you think that there are aliens and that life exists on other planets and that they maybe one day will come to Earth, you'll probably be speaking to them in English, because English is the language of international and interstellar communication. So I want to take this opportunity to speak about our sponsor called Spoken. Now, we're very, very excited and happy that Spoken have decided to sponsor our podcast. And Spoken is a way for you to improve your English learning through messenger programs like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger. So when you contact Spoken, they will work with you, ask you a few questions and create a learning plan for you based on your needs as an English student. So if you're studying English for business, for example, they will work with you to teach you grammar and vocabulary you need to improve your business English. Or perhaps you use English for travel. So you'll have your private tutor from Spoken in your pocket, and then they will be sending you exercises and working with you to improve your English. Now, Spoken are offering 2 free lessons if you sign up for their program through us, and also 20% off their first month, so a discount of 20% for your first month of study. If you would like more details, go to englespodcast.com/spoken. That's SPOKEN. And Henry and the guys over there will help you devise and structure a learning plan for your specific English needs. Reza and I would like to thank Spoken for sponsoring this podcast. Reza, are you a fan of science fiction movies and films? Do you watch many?
Not especially, although there are some that I like. But I'm not especially a fan.
Do any stick out, sobresalen? Do any films that you've seen stick in your mind as being especially good?
Well, to do with aliens or that type of thing, I do like, or generally kind of, you know, life in outer space, I do like the original Star Wars films.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the later ones are okay as well, but I guess it's a question of age. Because I saw the original Star Wars film when I was a child myself, and so it meant a lot to me. But the newer ones didn't quite mean as much to me because I was much older.
I agree with you. So if I ask you that classic geek question, geek is like a freaky. If I asked you the question, Star Wars or Star Trek, which would you prefer? Are you a Trekkie or a Star Wars fan? Would you go for Star Wars?
Yes. I never liked the Star Trek films that much. However, I thought Star Trek as a series was not bad. Yep. Better than the films.
I think we're of the same, a similar age, so I think we both agree that, yeah. What was the name of the Captain Kirk? Can't remember his name, the actor. Captain Kirk.
Oh, yes. What's his name?
Quite famous. He's still acting.
William Shatner.
That's right. Very good.
Spock was Leonard Nimoy,
who died unfortunately this year. Poor old Dimmock Nimoy. Yeah,
yeah. My dad was a huge fan of Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
the series. Really big fan. So in my house, it was repeated over and over and over and over again. One thing I really stuck in my memory from childhood memories. It's there. Is the sound of the doors opening in the original?
It used to go.
You remember?
Yep.
It was a really basic, you know, special effect, but it kind of worked.
And the phasers that they use to transport themselves from one place to another or from the planet's surface back into the spaceship. I love those phasers. And when mobile phones first started to become available to the public, the mobile phones used to flip them open and then you'd dial the number. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the way you'd flip open a phaser to beam you up to the Starship Enterprise. I love those phones.
And how unlucky were they in Star Trek with those phasers? They always beamed into the least appropriate place possible. So let's just beam to this planet. Let's just see what happens.
And we're in the middle of a volcano.
And a volcano, it's just about to explode. Or a war and we are right on the battle line. How unlucky is that?
Or we've arrived on the lap of a Klingon. And they always managed to beam back up to the ship just before they got killed. So, well, apart from Star Trek and Star Wars, there have been, of course, many science fiction movies, very successful ones. But ones that stick in my mind that I really enjoyed, I loved Predator and Alien, of course, Sigourney Weaver. And Alien versus Predator was a very good film.
Yeah. And, of course, there's E.T.
I never really enjoyed E.T. very much. I liked Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is also a Spielberg movie. Mm-hmm. That was very good.
Why didn't you like E.T., E.T. the extraterrestrial?
It was a bit like Mary Poppins. It was a bit too, I don't know, maybe young for me at the time when I saw it. I think I was in my early 20s and it was a bit, I don't know. No, I didn't really like it.
Now, there's one film which people are going to write in or leave a voice message criticizing me for this, but for me, one of the most overrated films of all time is 2001, A Space Odyssey. I don't get why that film is so popular. I just do not get it.
I think for its time, it was really advanced. And if you think about it, do you remember the name of the computer in the ship that spoke to the pilot?
I can't remember quite now.
It was HAL, H-A-L.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't allow that.
And the new Amazon Echo voice recognition computer software is doing what HAL did when Stanley Kubrick made the film, I don't know, 30 years ago? Was it now?
Longer.
So really, it's proven to be true. The idea that a computer will talk to you and you could say, hey, HAL, what's the weather like outside? Or can you order me the latest book by J.M. Foster? Or can you play the latest podcast by Craig and Reza? Then the new Amazon voice recognition will do that for you. So it's here. It's here. Science fiction has arrived.
Yes, sure enough. But I just thought the film moved incredibly slowly.
Yeah.
It just for minutes and minutes and minutes, not an awful lot happens. I just don't have the patience to watch it.
The score was very, very
It's the best
famous.
Part of it.
The score is the music, the soundtrack, the music of the film. The score was very, very famous, classical music.
And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of many Stanley Kubrick films. I think he's an amazing director, but not A Space Odyssey.
Here's some interesting facts about our North American cousins as far as aliens are concerned. I was reading a study from National Geographic. They did a survey and they discovered that 36% of North Americans believe that aliens exist. That's 80 million Americans. Did you think it would be that high? There are over 300 million Americans and 80 million believe that aliens exist.
That's a bit higher than I thought. Yeah. I knew that quite a lot believed it, but I'm surprised the figure is so high.
But here's another one. Over 10% say they have seen an alien spaceship in the sky.
Wow. That's.
Can you imagine over 10% of Spaniards or Brits believing that?
No.
No.
You're lucky if it's about 1%, I would say.
And another interesting fact from their study, from all the people in North America who believe in aliens, if an alien knocked on their door, 22% would try to make friends with it, 15% would run away, and 13% would lock their doors. Only 2% would attack the alien. Oh, that's comforting.
That's comforting. Yeah. 2%. Well, that's not bad. Actually, aliens are relatively lucky then. 2% would attack the alien. I reckon that it's a much higher percentage would attack, you know, a stranger coming to the door who didn't speak English in America, I should imagine.
Yeah, probably.
So aliens are quite well treated compared to some other people.
Especially with the gun laws in the USA at the moment, but we won't go into that. Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, you may have heard of, very famous British scientist, physicist, astronomer, a very, very clever man, Nobel Prize winner. What does he say about aliens?
He says planet Gliese 832c, mm-hmm. that's the name of a planet, potentially has alien life, but humans need to be wary.
What does wary mean?
Wary, W-A-R-Y. It means receloso, precavido, be careful.
Yeah.
One night, we might receive a signal from a planet like this, but we should be wary of answering back.
What? Stephen Hawking says we may receive a message from planet Gliese 832c. So one of the most intelligent people in the world who has been studying physics and astronomy for many, many years and written numerous books about it possibly believes in aliens, that it could happen. So what do you think? Do you believe in aliens or crop circles, perhaps? Do you think we've been visited yet on Earth? What would you say to an alien if you saw one? And what's your favourite alien film? Send us a message. We'd love to hear what you think about this topic. You can reach us on SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/Inglez podcast, or send us an email with your comments or your questions to me, Craig, at inglezpodcast.com.
Or send it to me at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And if you would like more detailed show notes, we are in the middle of a Patreon campaign to raise $100 per month so that we can pay for all of our episodes to be transcribed. And to join that program, go to patreon.com/Inglez podcast. And we'd like to thank people who are sponsoring us at the moment. Who are they, Reza?
Our sponsors are Nicole, Anna, Pedro, Manuel García Betacón, Maite, Lara, María, Sara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Corey Finneran, Mariel, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Manuel Tarazona, Agus Bolucci, Manuel Velázquez, Néstor García Mañez, who might be listening to this episode and might be very interested since he has the website Luces Extrañas, that's nestorgm.com.
Yeah, if you enjoy this episode and you want to find out more about astronomy and other planets, go to listen to Nestor's podcast, which is very, very good.
And thanks very much to Nestor for being a sponsor. And Juan, Rafa, Vancells, Beatriz, José Luis Aragui, and Miren Full. They're all our sponsors and we thank them very much.
Yep, thanks to you. And also many thanks to Arminda from Madrid, to Alberto from Granada, and to Angelica Bello from Madrid, who are continuing to transcribe full transcriptions for us on a voluntary basis. We now have full transcriptions for episodes 131 to 142, and also episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4, the first four, thanks to Angelica. Reza, what's next week?
On next week's episode, British music legends.
That's in response to an idea from Francisco from Úbeda. And next week, we'll also be answering the question, who sang Is There Life on Mars? So there's a connection from today's podcast going into next week's podcast when we speak about music. Who sang Is There Life on Mars? We'll tell you next week. Thanks for listening. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. And together, we're going to help you improve your grammar,
improve your English.
Welcome to this podcast. Oh no, we've said that.